Welcome to the archives of Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. What happens to the digital trails of our personal information and ideas that remain online when we research or upload data? Is this information accessible to others? Could it be used later to our potential detriment or character defamation? In this, the second of a two-part archived conversation with Victor Mayer Schoenberger, professor of internet governance and regulation at Oxford University in the United Kingdom, and author of Delete, The Virtue of Forgetting in the Digital Age, we discuss methods by which people may protect themselves from revealing personal information online and how personal information may be deleted. Delete asserts that the capacity for eternal memory can have unanticipated and often unwanted consequences. With Victor Mayer Schoenberger, we explore ways in which our personal information, data, conversations, and experiences are forgotten by us as individuals, but remembered digitally. We consider the future potential effects on society of digitally preserved information, as well as the consequences of remembering what is sometimes best forgotten. Victor Mayer Schoenberger joined us by phone from his then home in Singapore on January 4th, 2010. We began the second part of our conversation by discussing how to digitally delete personal information so it is no longer available.
Well, as I argue in the book, my suggestion is that we, rather than creating new laws or new social rules or hope to rewire our human brains, we focus on creating digital artifacts, creating digital tools that enable and have built in the capacity to forget. Much as we humans have the capacity to forget, we should surround us, I argue in the book, with tools and techniques that are well aligned with forgetting, because forgetting plays such a central role to our existence and to human consciousness.
Those tools, the ones with which we align ourselves, are?
Well, take digital cameras, take our computers. If you go back 20, 30 years, to the world of analog cameras, people would be very careful in what picture they would take, because each picture they would take would cost a small but not a trivial amount of money to develop and then to take a look at. So people chose carefully what kind of image they would take. With digital cameras, that's not the case anymore. In fact, digital storage is so cheap these days that we just take pictures whenever we want, hundreds of them, even thousands. And then we connect our digital image capturing device, our digital camera, to our computer. And what's happening then is that our software, by default, automatically uploads all of the pictures onto our hard drives. We don't select pictures that we want to have stored and saved and remembered, and those that we want to have forgotten and therefore discarded and deleted, because it's just too tiring and too cumbersome for us to do that. The default is remembering, and the default is built into the digital devices we use, and that's what we are doing. I suggest we reverse that. I suggest that we create digital tools that let us forget and forget more easily. One way to do that is through what I call expiration dates of information. So I suggest that whenever we store something, we have an expiration date assigned to it.
When we assign the expiration date, are you suggesting that that be of all of the photos that perhaps some of us have uploaded to our computer, or selected ones?
What I suggest is that whenever we store an image, we select how long we want that image to be kept on our computer, so that when we upload images, we very quickly go through them, and with the click of a button and some intuitive user interface, we can select whether this is such a great photograph that we want to keep it forever, that is, we want to keep it for the next 100 years or 200 years or 500 years, or whether this is an okay photo and we just want to keep it for the next 3 to 5 years because we may or may not use it, or whether this is just a photo that we really don't need at all because it's shaky, because we didn't catch anybody in a nice pose in there. And therefore, give us back the choice, the gradated choice that we need to have the real ability to remember and to forget in the digital age. Today, we can only decide whether we want to upload or not. In the future, I suggest we need to have the ability to decide how long we want to preserve a particular image. Of course, the success of that depends on our ability to create a user experience, a software tools that are easy to use and easy to handle, perhaps with useful presets and defaults that make it very easy for us to choose how long we want to preserve something.
You're also asking people to do a little bit more than just upload the pictures or set them for upload and then go off and do something else and come back a little while later. You're asking them to go through each picture and classify the ones they wish to save in how long they should be, permanent or be gone after a set time. That's an affirmative act that I can figure many people might not want to do.
There's two reasons why we should, nevertheless, do it. One is that if we remember by default, we expose ourselves to all the potential threats and evils of a comprehensive digital memory. Secondly, by making us consider how long we want to preserve something and when we want to have something deleted or forgotten, even if it only takes a second or two of consideration, it means that we as human beings are reminded of the contextuality of information, that is, of the fact that information is not valid forever, but most information is connected to and linked to a particular point in time, a particular context, and loses its value over time. Most of the information that we have available today isn't particularly helpful or useful maybe 30, 40 years into the future and can be forgotten at that time. Let me tell a quick personal story. My stepfather passed away earlier this year and I inherited a huge library of photographs. In fact, in the last couple of years, he has shot digital images and he has kept thousands and thousands of them. And we went through them and I had a very simple rule. I would keep every photograph that had a person in it that I would know. And out of the 4,000-some digital images that I went through one afternoon, there were four images that I would keep. And so that, to me, goes to show that much of what we capture can actually be forgotten with very little value loss.
Well, that goes back to something that we mentioned in our last conversation about prior to the movable type press, what was saved of images were those which people with substantial economic means could have someone create of themselves or a view that they liked. The others only had the image that was engraved in their personal memory.
And buried in the future, it might be the other way around. In the future, it might be that those that are affluent, those with significant means, have the ability to delete the pictures, to delete the memory that they no longer want or they no longer need, while most of us will not be able to do that. There are already services out there on the internet that help people to delete the information that is available to the rest of the world about them, that they don't want to have deleted. Reputation Defender is one of them, for example. So that means that in the future, forgetting is going to be a luxury good.
Well, we're talking in a sense about a boundary here. One is keeping personal information on a home computer, and two is requiring laws or a system of software that would be imposed on the external computers. Google is the primary example that we've been using, that would delete it over a period of time. It's crossing that boundary that gets us into the area of the surveyors keeping the information, as you characterize it in the conclusion of your book, as opposed of those people being surveyed keeping the information.
That is true. I would like to see an ability to have expiration dates for digital images that would then be honored even if I uploaded to, let's say, Flickr or another of those photo services, so that when I select an expiration date, let's say 6 months into the future, 6 months into the future, Flickr will delete that photograph from its image database. And so I want online services to honor the expiration dates that individuals set for their own images.
I think we have some interesting concepts here between who sets the rules and who implements them and follows up to determine if those rules or laws are in fact implemented. And before we get to that, I'd like to say that in this edition of Radio Curious, we're talking with Victor Mayer Schoenberger, the author of Delete, The Virtue of Forgetting in the Digital Age. This is Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Victor, what are your considerations of the way we can get the controllers of this information, the keepers of this information, to follow the laws that would say delete after X period of time?
Well, Barry, on the internet, there is a relatively simple rule, and that is that the cost that users incur in switching from one service to the other is relatively low. Experts call that a lack of stickiness of customers to a particular service. And that means that if customers are unhappy with a particular service, let's say with a search engine that they use or with a photo service that they use, they can switch to an alternate service relatively easily. So we as consumers, that is, we as customers on the internet, have a lot of power available to us. And we can choose to exercise that power based on our preferences and our values. So I suggest that if we don't like a particular service because it's not valuing the information that we provide to it, that is, it is not following the expiration date idea, it is keeping information longer than we want it to keep our information, then we should switch to a different service. It is a market out there, and we should make use of the choice and the choices that the market provides.
Making use of the market that is provided reminds me of our first conversation about the psychological analyses that can be created about each user through the agencies or the organizations that collect this information and thus market it to us in a way that benefits them economically. From one perspective, from another perspective, young people who soon will be having full internet access through their cell phones, if they don't already, may not give a hoot about whether what they say is remembered or not, and may in fact want it remembered.
Or not. They may just not realize that what they put on Facebook is being remembered. What they say on Twitter is being remembered for a long period of time. It seems to me that in particular with IM, with Facebook, with Twitter, a lot of the digital natives, the younger generation of internet users, approach these tools as tools of enabling and digital equivalent of ephemeral oral communication. Small little snippets that are exchanged are very similar to what you would say to somebody who you bump into on the street. It's ephemeral communication. The problem is that, of course, when we use digital tools, it's not ephemeral. It doesn't go away. It is being kept. And quite frankly, those that understand that, those that perhaps have received the short end of the stick, have been feeling the detriment of digital memory. For example, by losing their jobs or losing a relationship because of what they said on Facebook or Twitter, even those digital natives very clearly understand the power and the threat of comprehensive digital memory So I don't think the younger generation is oblivious or ignorant to it.
What are your thoughts on the ability to psychologically analyze a computer user based on the historical analysis of their use?
A lot of internet services that are driven by ad revenues, that is, that are based on a business model that uses ad income as its main source, think that using user-generated information from past transactions, from past interactions, whether they're book purchases on Amazon or browsing behavior or search requests sent to Google, that they can use this information to understand a person better. That may be true to an extent, but there is also a huge danger to that, and that is that by putting all these puzzle pieces of information together, what we do is not recreating a person that exists and lives in the present, but what we are doing is recreating a person that never lived, that is an amalgamation of pieces from 10 years ago and 5 years ago and 5 months ago and 5 days ago of a person that over time changes, like we all do, values and preferences. But the image, the digital image that is being conjured, doesn't capture that change because it captures just the summary of all of our preferences of the last decade or two. And that is what I find particularly troubling of those comprehensive information aggregators on the internet. They have no sense of time and change, and therefore what they provide others, what they provide third parties with about me and about other individuals is not what we as individuals think about today, what our preferences and values are today, but what they were perhaps 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And that has nothing to do with the human being that I am today.
You make reference to that in George Orwell's 1984 in your chapter entitled Of Power and Time. And you actually go on a little bit about the possibility of the day-to-day falsification of the past.
That is right. As much as we entrust others to be the keepers of our digital records of our own past, that is, the keepers of our memory, we also entrust them with being truthful and comprehensive with our memory. That is a lot of power entrusted to a small set of providers, and therefore they also, at least in theory, have the ability to change the records that they have available. There is no guarantee that what we find on Google is comprehensive, complete, or authentic, although most of the time these days, when we search for information, we Google something or we look it up in Wikipedia. But we don't realize that there is, again, no guarantee for this information record that we are being presented with that this is comprehensive or authentic or in any form or shape true.
If that is a given, how would you suggest that those organizations or aggregators of this information be controlled? This question has the inherent assumption that nations or governmental alliances would establish laws that would require certain deletion over a period of time. How could they be controlled to delete?
Well, first of all, I think a significant amount of that challenge may actually go away just by the sheer fact that if users like you and me realize the power of Google, the power of these online services, we might exercise more discretion and we might choose the online providers that we use more carefully. And in that sense, these online providers themselves will be forced through market pressure to comply with certain corporate governance rules, to comply with our desire to be able to choose what needs to be remembered and what ought to be forgotten. But to the extent that that is not happening, not going to happen, we may need, under certain circumstances, some rules, some new laws of information privacy, of the ability to give us individuals back the choice of remembering and forgetting, of choosing what in the future we want to have remembered about ourselves and what we want to have forgotten. And we might need those laws in particular circumstances, and these laws may need to be put in place in a number of Western countries to be comprehensive. But I do believe that, let's take the United States, Canada, and Europe, that there is a significant consensus of the importance of the informational privacy online in particular, and the importance of forgetting. So I don't think that this is a hurdle that cannot be taken.
Well, when you say United States, Canada, and Europe, there's a greater commonality of thinking processes among those groups than there might be in other areas where members of society are expected to behave within the confines or the dictates of that society.
Yes.
So my question is, how can the requirement to delete after a period of time, the requirement to forget, be enforced, either within the confines of Western thought or extending it beyond that to non-Western thought?
Well, first of all, my suggestion is not to have a strict law that would say after a certain period of time, certain information has to be forgotten. On the contrary, what I want is a law that enables us to choose when to forget and when to remember. So the choice is with us. And with respect to the enforcement wouldn't be through a deletion sheriff or something like that. The enforcement would rest upon our ability to see and to understand what the information providers out there are doing and whether they are complying or not. It seems to me that that pressure, that consumer pressure of compliance, is going to take care of maybe 80 or 90% of the problem. In fact, after having made the suggestion of digital forgetting over the last 2 years, I was surprised to learn about a number of online services out there that already exist that enable exactly that kind of choice of forgetting or remembering that I talked about. So there are search engines out there like ask.com that permits you to delete your search history with a simple mouse click. There is online services out there like drop.io where you can share photos and files with each other, but you can adjust, you can attach an expiration date and adjust, therefore, the length of time that that information stays online. And these services, by and large, are doing pretty well. And that tells me that consumers out there value that type of service because that conforms to their preferences and values and the importance of forgetting.
Well, Victor Mayer Schoenberger, author of Delete, The Virtue of Forgetting in the Digital Age, this is fascinating, and I hope that in the future we can remember to visit again. And before we close, is there perhaps another book that you can share with us?
I do have another book that I want to share, or more precisely, actually, a movie, a script that was made into a movie that I highly recommend, and it is called The Life of Others. It's a movie about surveillance in East Germany in the 1970s, but that's only the front story. The back story is about the surveyors and the surveyed, the ethics and moral questions of surveillance, of those that bug private apartments of citizens and listen in on conversations, and vexing questions that are being posed by a surveillance society. It's a wonderful, slow but gripping story, and it won the Oscar 2 years back.
Victor Mayer Schoenberger, thank you very much for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thank you, Barry, for having me.
In conversation with a group of friends, after interviewing Victor Mayer Schoenberger, author of Delete, the virtue of forgetting in the digital age, someone commented that our conversation sounded like Ludditism and bore a negative tone towards maintaining digital records. It occurred to me to contact Victor Mayer Schoenberger and asked him if he would comment both on what I felt might have been perhaps a Luddite or negative tone regarding digital memory in our interviews and the positive benefits of digital remembering. He did comment and responded as follows. Yes, Ludditism is on the rise, and I'm not happy about that. Even President Obama, when visiting a school last fall, advised that pupils should carefully self-censor what they post on Facebook or Twitter, as it may come to haunt them much later in life. But a world of self-censoring humans takes much of the value out of the information sharing tools we have developed and are available on the internet that can foster innovation and advance governance. Self-censorship also impoverishes the robust give and take of public debate we need for our society to thrive. That is why, in Delete, I deliberately do not argue for digital abstinence. Instead, I suggest we continue to use the information sharing opportunities even more, from Facebook to Twitter to data.gov, but add expiration dates as a mechanism to curb negative effects of sharing in the longer run. We thus replicate some of the ephemeral nature of oral communication in real life. This, I believe, wrote Victor Mayer Schoenberger, is the key to move forward. Victor Mayer Schoenberger is the author of Delete, The Virtue of Forgetting in the Digital Age. The book he recommends is The Collected Fictions of Jorge Luis Borges. This conversation was recorded on January 4th, 2010. There are over 500 archive editions of Radio Curious on our website, www.radiocurious.org, where they're free for you to stream, download, enjoy, and share. We appreciate your curiosity, ideas, comments, and questions. You may reach us by email. Our address is curious@radiocurious.org or snail mail 280 North Oak Street, Ukiah, that's UKIAH, California 95482, or by phone 707-462-6541. You've been listening to Radio Curious. Christina Onnestad is our associate producer, and I'm host and producer, Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.